Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up as we've just broken into a new series about 12 spiritual disciplines that will make your faith strong. By the way, it is Thursday, April 25th, 2019, in case you're wondering if this is a live program or not, because you might be wondering that if you want to call in, and we're encouraging you to do so. We'll do a little review of what we've covered so far, but first I want to remind you that we are live in studio, again, Thursday, April 25th, at least, 2019. And if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to text us, there are several ways that you could communicate with us. And I'm going to let Linda tell you all about that. So here she is.
Oh, getting to me right away.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Good to have you joining us today. If you would like to call and be live on the radio with us, it's not scary, I guarantee you. In Facebook, they can't see you. They only see us, okay? So it's only your voice comes through on that one. But if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. I had to stop and think about which number I was going to give you because I was about to give you Calvary Chapel Eagle's number. And that's if you just really don't want to talk live on the radio, but you have a comment or a question, you can then text that to Calvary Chapel Eagle, 208-891-2635. If you are out in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave something in the comments, and when it's appropriate, we will address that. Forgive me today, allergies are really acting up, and I'm having one of those voice trouble days. So if you hear me clearing my throat or coughing, I'm sorry. I'll apologize ahead of time for that one. I don't mean to, but man, there's not much you can do when you start getting that tickle in your throat, huh? So, okay. On to you, Mike. Yeah,
talk about allergies. Linda talked me into taking one of those allergy tests where they take some hairs from your head.
Intolerance test.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And thanks a lot, Linda, because I find out I'm allergic to life. I'm allergic to everything, breathing, dust, some of the vitamins I've been taking, they say you're allergic to that. It's like, oh, my goodness. You know what?
I know. You add turmeric because it's supposed to be good for your heart. And
they say I have an intolerance for turmeric. So anyway, that's life. I'm allergic to life. So listen, we are in a topic of looking at the 12 spiritual, I say the 12, but there's 12
that
churchleaders.com has put together 12. And it's Brandon Hilgman. Is I guess say it right? Hilgman. Yeah, Linda was telling me I was saying his name wrong. And he wrote an article for churchleaders.com about 12 spiritual disciplines that will make your faith strong. And I thought it was well worth discussing. And as I've told you before, there's times I'll find an article or maybe I'll take one of my studies that I've put together years ago and I'll say, let's use this as a base and then we'll springboard into some dialogue between Linda and I. And of course, our listeners, you're always welcome to call in to either ask questions or give your opinions because we love to interact with our listeners. So anyway, the 12 primary spiritual activities that were practiced by Jesus and prescribed for all believers, according to Brandon, are this. Bible study, prayer, fasting, confession, worship, fellowship, rest, celebration, service, generosity, chastity, and disciple making. Now, I hope at least one of those hits you that, boy, that's I need to start doing that. And I really believe that whenever we do this program on the air, that the Lord wants to speak personally to somebody out there and probably to several of you, that it's time to step it up a little bit. I really believe that the Lord wants us never to just coast in our spiritual walk, that we've learned. It's, you know, we've learned to study the Bible and have our little prayer time in the morning, and we go to church once a week and blah, blah, blah. And we could just very easily coast, or even what I would call going downhill. And so what we need to do is always push ourselves to move forward. And I've told you, true confessions, as I'm looking over this list, I'm thinking, there's some things on this list I probably really need to step it up on. I know I just recently started adding fasting to my regular life again, but there's disciple making. How well am I doing that? You know, there's things in here that every one of us, if you're honest, you're going to find something and you go, I need to work on that. Okay. Hopefully you don't have to work at all 12, get overwhelmed, like my allergy test. But listen, a little review is yesterday we covered study, and particularly the study of the Bible. And I think a verse we touched on, but I want to give you a little bit more context as we just review very briefly yesterday, is the importance of the discipline in your life to study the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul wrote to Timothy, his disciple. He was a disciple maker for sure, and Timothy was Paul's disciple. And he says, "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them." By the way, why is the Bible so filled with "you must continue," "you must do this," and "beware of that," and "avoid this," and "add this to your faith"? Because, folks, the Christian life is not automatic. The good things that are going to happen to you in life will not happen automatically. What happens automatically are the bad things, you know? I mean, it's like the second law of thermodynamic thing, where everything tends to run down. Everything tends to fall apart. Any system left to itself will deteriorate. I was just walking around my fence today, just kind of taking a survey after winter, what needs to be repaired. That whole darn fence needs painting and possibly replacing, because that second law of thermodynamics, everything left to itself starts to fall apart and rot unless you continue to apply maintenance. That same thing applies to our spiritual walk. That's why Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, "You must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them." He's saying, "Timothy, I've taught you some things over the years, and I've passed along to you the teachings of Jesus." And so we've got to make sure that we intentionally continue down the right path. My friend, I think those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, you need to realize this is for you, that God wants you to continue in the things that he's taught you. It's not just you did them once or that you used to do them, okay? He goes on to say, "And that from childhood," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so Paul is reminding him, you know, "Timothy, good thing. You know, I knew your mother, and she taught you in the ways of the Lord, and you've been raised in the scriptures, and so I want you to continue in them." And as Christians, that is, even though we're talking about the 12 disciplines, I'm just wrapping up yesterday's program on Bible study, there are many things in the Christian life that we've got to intentionally continue in. And then there's that famous verse in the next verse that you've all got memorized, right? "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped and furnished unto every good work." There's that famous verse, but I wanted to give you the context of it, because we talked about this verse yesterday, that the scripture is given to us by God's inspiration. There's a whole Bible study in itself, the reliability, the dependability of the scripture, but what it's profitable for: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And so, folks, if we're going to be strong in the Lord and stay strong in the Lord, each one of us, we need to, that first spiritual discipline we covered yesterday, I'm just reminding you, if you missed it, you're getting it now. You need to be a student of the Word, because this being a student of the Word is going to help you to continue in the things you've been taught. Being a student of the Word is going to cause you to know doctrine. That means proper belief system. Reproof. There's times in your life and mine where I need to be corrected in things. Reproof. for correction, for instruction. There's times we forget and we need to be reminded of things that we need to do. So folks, don't ever stop reading your Bible. Don't ever think, well, I read the Bible a few times through and that's it. You will forget and you need to be reminded and we need to be steadfast in the Word. Okay. So remember, one of the keys to spiritual health that we're pushing all the time is Acts 2:42. That on the day of Pentecost, when the early Christians got saved, you know, the first big altar call, you know, the Holy Spirit came down and attracted a crowd. People come around. Peter stood up and preached a message anointed by the Holy Spirit and preached the gospel. And it says that 3,000 souls were saved that day. And as a result, it says in Acts 2:42, that they continued, the 3,000 and the 12 and all those 120 that were up in the room, in the upper room, they continued steadfast. They continued to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are four that are going to be included in this list of 12 that we're looking at. But I'm telling you, folks, if you read your Bible, you're going to see that nothing happens automatically by itself. Spiritual growth doesn't happen. Maintenance of being spiritually healthy doesn't happen by itself. It requires your attention. Just like I told you about my fence in the backyard or my house that needs painting or my lawn that needs cutting. Everything in life needs maintenance or it starts to go into disarray. The same is true with your spiritual walk. Okay, I'm going to skip this. I've got all kinds of verses in Psalm 119, and I'm going to skip that because we want to start a new topic. We're going to look into the topic of prayer today. But I'm telling you that read Psalm 119 because I keep finding another couple of verses I want to read to you from Psalm 119, and I'm just going to skip that and tell you that's your homework, okay? Read Psalm 119. The whole chapter of Psalms is all about the Word of God. Every other verse mentions the Word of God, your law, your precepts, your testimonies, your Word. And just read it. It's good stuff. So let's look at the second spiritual discipline listed in this list of 12 by churchleaders.com, and that's prayer. Now, I'm just going to read from the article. Actually, he quotes Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is how we talk to God. When we pray, God listens. That's Brandon's comment. I like that. Now, he's got a whole article about, first of all, just Jesus as our example. And then I think Linda's got some quotes that she wants to read to you from a book on prayer. And, you know, there's so much we could talk about, but I want to remind you again, we love to hear from our listeners. So whether it's by phone call or by text or by Facebook Live, talk to us here, whether by way of questions or comments. And again, the number here is 377, it's area code 208-377-3790. We haven't had a caller in a while, folks, so it's good to get a call from you. The number here is area code 208-377-3790. Call us, especially if you have something you want to talk about concerning prayer, a lesson the Lord taught you, or a question that you have, and we'll get into that, okay? Now, continuing in this article, Jesus taught many things about prayer. He warned against the prayers of the hypocrites who make a show of their prayer and taught us to pray humbly. And that's in Matthew chapter 6, when what many people call the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And it's actually Jesus teaching his apostles how to pray. God is like a good father who delights in giving good gifts to his asking children. And then he's quoting Luke 11:9-13, where that's the famous text where he says, if your son asks you for a stone, for bread, you give him a stone. If he's going to ask you for a fish, you're going to give him a scorpion. How much more will God give those who ask the Holy Spirit? And so there's, and if you've first time you ever heard that, look it up in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Jesus actually taught us to ask God for his Holy Spirit, okay? And we should persevere in prayer until the Lord answers, Luke 18:1-8. But we must have faith for our prayers to be effective. Matthew 21:22, let me just read that verse. It says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, I do have a little bit later on this topic, if time permits, a few verses that I want to talk about as far as a description of proper prayer and some conditions for answered prayer. But one more paragraph here by Jesus. About Jesus. Jesus also modeled prayer for us in his actions. He frequently sought to get away from the crowds to pray in solitude and in silence. And here he's quoting from several Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, just on times where Jesus would actually spend the whole night in prayer, or he'd get up early before the sun and he'd pray. And folks, if Jesus did it, we need to do it. Today, like Jesus, we should withdraw regularly for time alone with God in prayer. And whenever we gather with fellow believers, we should pray for one another. The lessons, okay, one of the things I might do, we'll see. I want to see what Linda has for us first. But I've got a study that I did a few years ago on prayer. And it just is a basic look at the Lord's Prayer. We'll maybe do that. Let's just see how things go. Linda, what do you got for us today?
I've got this devotion book that I've been reading. And yesterday, I thought we were going to hit prayer, so I brought it with me because I thought, you know, this would be perfect. And it's called A Spectacle of Glory by Johnny Erickson Tada. And actually, I got it from the radio station here when we had that golf day. It was in my bag. And it's been a good thing. But it says, sometimes the solution to a huge difficulty is so near at hand, so obvious that we walk right by it. That may be the case with anxiety in our lives. Anxiety is distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear. Even as Christians, we're troubled by these feelings now and again, but some people become quickly overwhelmed. In today's scripture, Paul writes, and this is Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Here are two strong commands in quick succession. Stop worrying, start praying. It truly is the answer. If anything disturbs your peace, take it immediately to God. Lay it before him and then let it go. Oh, easier said than done. If you have to do this 1,000 times a day, then do it. God's peace will filter back into your heart like a protective shield. That's his promise. And then she ends us with a prayer. Lord, you know me so well. Worries and fears over the future sometimes feel like a lead weight on my heart. Why should I carry those extra burdens? I'm already weak as it is. I bring to them to you once again. Like a warm blanket on a cold night, I want to feel your peace today. So I thought that was worth sharing with you. I thought it was a good thought because that's what it really comes down to is stop worrying and pray. If we would put the effort into praying that we put into worrying.
It's just so much easier to worry though, hon.
It is at times.
And it comes more natural.
You know exactly what I'm saying. Any of you that gone through any kind of anxiety, any kind of worry, any kind of stress, and believe me, life holds a lot of them. And we waste so much time worrying. We forget to take our thoughts captive. And part of, I think, taking your thoughts captive is to enter into prayer. Enter into prayer, enter into worship. Those are two things that really help to take those thoughts captive. Because the Lord tells us, come to him with these things. There's things, aren't the things you worry about the things that you can't do anything about? Don't they bother you the most? They do me. If I can fix something, then I don't worry about it so much. But it's those things that I can't do a thing. There's nothing I can do to fix this one. And those are the things I worry about more, stress over more. And I should be spending that time in prayer. So I just thought that was a really good reminder. It hit me pretty hard.
Good.
So well,
Thank you. Yeah, actually, I just briefly looked at my little message on prayer. I'm going to save that for another day, because otherwise I'll just be giving you a Bible study that I did years ago on prayer. I want to continue on this topic and hopefully move on through these 12 disciplines a little bit quicker than that. But a few different verses on prayer that are worth looking at before we move off the topic I have before me. Let me read them to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And this fits along with what Linda was just saying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I want to read verse 7 too, but first, you know, what Linda was just reading is how often we, instead of praying, we worry. And one of the things that we quite often miss when we're trying to get into practice the discipline of a prayer life is that one word, thanksgiving. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What we typically do is we give our shopping list to God. We make a list of things we want. But I think that Jesus taught us and Paul teaches us and the Bible as a whole teaches us one of the keys to a successful prayer life, one of the keys to a powerful prayer life is to be a person who loves to praise God, give thanks to God, and you approach God with a heart of thanksgiving. It says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And so let me just encourage you something. If you've got a list of things you're worrying about and you're hearing the program today and you're going, okay, I need to pray more. And you write it all down. You go, okay, Lord, heal this and supply this and answer this and fix this. It's not just running to God with your prayer list. You know what? I think that if you go to God with thanksgiving, it helps you to pray with more faith. Because thanksgiving is recounting the things that God has done for you, the prayers that he has answered, or the way that he has provided for you, or the things that he has done for you. And if you're coming to God with a request, but you're also mindful of all the good things that he's already done for you, then it's easier to pray in faith, isn't it? It's easier to say, Lord, look what you've done for me. Look at how you've answered this prayer and you've taken care of me in this area of life. And all these things I used to worry about in life, I don't have to worry about anymore because you've taken care of one by one. You've taken care of them. So how much more can I trust you to hear my request that I'm bringing to you now? And I bring my supplications and my prayers with thanksgiving. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Again, that's Philippians 4, 6. And Linda was giving a little devotion on that, but I just think I want to make sure that you don't miss that thanksgiving part. Now,
so you need to go to Psalm 100.
Yeah, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes, you do. You need to go to Psalm 100 with that, because that should be, you know, kind of the first thing we do. We make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And I'm trying really hard not to sing it, okay? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, that is such a positive up psalm. So many of them are, oh, woe is me, and break my enemy's teeth in their mouth and things like that.
Help, help, help.
But this one is one of those things of joy and praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we need to always remember it. We need to go back and sing that song again.
Huh? Yeah, I was thinking, when you were saying that, I was thinking we should teach that to our young people, see if we could get them singing it again.
would be great.
We actually had that whole song memorized, that whole psalm, Psalm 100, and we sang it in an old 50s rock and roll fashion. And while the girls would be singing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the guys would go, praise God, praise God. And it was really a cool, fun little thing. We did it this was in the 70s, but we were singing 50s because it's a good oldie but goodie feel to it. And it was a great, by the way, song is a wonderful way to memorize scripture. And one of my favorite things to do, especially when I was a worship leader years ago, was to teach and practice worship songs that were out of scripture. There are many, many scriptures that have been put to music, and when you sing them, they get in deep. They become a part of you. So if you could find songs that were taken right from the scriptures, not just somebody's, you know, there's a lot of modern day words, and sometimes they're a little bit weird. Sometimes musicians can be that way, you know, they'll come up with words and these people, they're controversial. People go, I don't like those words. But you take
David was a musician.
But take songs out of scripture and you're going to be safe. If anybody complains about that, that's their problem. Okay. Now, I did want to tag on to one more verse to that. When it says, be anxious for nothing, I'm back in Philippians 4 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But there's something else I want you to see, because verse 7 gives a promise. What happens when you pray and bring your supplications to God with thanksgiving? It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So one of the promises we have in Scripture to those who pray, those who come and pray with thanksgiving, not just God help and just, you know, lay out all your prayer requests, but also come with the right attitude, come with the right heart, come with thanksgiving for what he's already done. And Paul promises in Philippians 4 that as you practice this, you're going to have the peace of God. Now, I've done studies before, and you probably have heard them before, pastors teaching on the difference between peace with God and the peace of God. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer at war with God. You now have peace with God. He is for you and not against you, because you are for him. You've surrendered to him. You've put your trust in Christ. Somebody who's born again has peace with God. But the problem is, not everybody who's born again who has peace with God has the peace of God. It's possible to be truly born again, right with God. You know, you're going to heaven when you die, but you've lost it. You've lost your nerve, and you're in fear, and you're worried, and you're filled with anxiety. Are you reading me? You know what I'm talking about? Am I describing somebody out there where you're a Christian, but you still sometimes get overwhelmed with worry and fear? And so what Paul is saying, you're lacking, if I've just described you, what you're lacking is the peace of God. You've already got peace with God. Sometimes the trick that the devil plays on us is to whisper in our ear that if we're lacking the peace of God, we must not have peace with God. That's not true. You can have total peace with God because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you're lacking the peace of God, that peace that passes all understanding, that just calms your heart and settles your life, that you're no longer controlled by your fears. And so that's what happens when you come to God and cast your cares upon him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I wanted to make sure that we saw that. If we're going to talk about the spiritual disciplines and include prayer in there, I want you to see, get you some motivation, let's say, for proper prayer. If you want to be disciplined and pray, I got to give you some motivation. Now, a couple other verses before we get off of the topic of prayer is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. Again, he says, with thanksgiving. Watch that. Matter of fact, you might want to just do a search. Type in with thanksgiving in your Bible program and see how many times that comes up. And you'll find that prayer is always to be coupled with thanksgiving. Not just your prayer list, but be thankful. I hear the music. That means time to take a station break. We'll be back in just about 60 seconds.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise. Radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. through Facebook Live, text, and phone. You can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
All right, I got a couple more verses on prayer we want to get through. Also, Denise, you're welcome to call in if you want to talk about that. I'm not quite sure I understand what you're getting with that one line there, what you're getting at, but you're welcome to call in. And listen, I just quoted Colossians chapter 4, but I'm looking at a few other verses on prayer. And it's funny because one of the things we often pray about, even if we're not necessarily a prayer warrior, is we might pray over our meal, right? And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." There it is again. Look for that, folks. "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And so there's a lot of things in life that might be questionable and that you might go, "Oh, should I be around that? Should I eat this?" You know, there's so many things. And Paul just advised Timothy, you know what? Just walk in the word and be in prayer and pray over your meals. And, you know, by the way, I've done a little traveling as my years as a missionary. I used to be a mission pastor. And I've been everywhere from the Philippines to the Yucatan to Egypt, Africa, India. And particularly when I went to India, it gave me a whole new purpose for praying over my food. You know, I think one time I was in India and they were preparing food for our team. And I was looking for a restroom, which good luck with that. And I happened to wander into the back room in what that was. It could look like the same thing, but it was a kitchen. And there was this guy squatting over a pot, stirring something over a campfire type of situation. That was the kitchen. And the pot looked like an old rusty old pot. And I'm not sure what was in the pot. And I realized this guy's cooking for us. And, you know, when I went back to my team, I don't think I told them, but I realized, you know what, there's a real reason on this trip to pray over my meals. You know, we talk in America, we pray over our meals, but it's always thank you, Jesus, for this food. You know, there's times you say, "Lord, protect me from this food." So always pray over your meals because 1 Timothy 3:5 says it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. One more in James chapter 5, verse 15, James says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And matter of fact, let me back up a little bit because he's talking about, as he wraps up his letter, James is expressing the different situations we might find ourselves in life. He says, "Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, I've got a thing. You may have heard my explanation for this in the past, but I think there's times, particularly in verse 14, when it says, "If you're sick, call for the elders of the church." There's times when you're really, really sick that you can't even pray. You can't even pray in faith. You can't even pray for yourself. Have you ever been that sick? I mean, there's times I'm so sick, all I can do is moan or maybe hug the toilet bowl, you know? There's times you're so sick that you need help. You need someone else to pray for you. But you always need prayer, right? Whether you could pray or somebody else prays. The first part of this in verse 13, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Now, that word suffering, that could mean all kinds of suffering, whether it's financial suffering, whether it's troubles with neighbors, troubles in the church. You know, suffering could mean a lot of things. So definitely we're told by all of the Bible writers the importance of prayer. Let me read that again. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." There's that giving thanks or with thanksgiving part. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen to this, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, there's a number of topics that could probably demand the rest of our program if we really want to deal with it properly in this one verse. But let me just say this, that over and over again in Scripture, we do see that God expects us to pray believing. He expects us to pray in faith, because it says here that the prayer of faith will save the sick. I tell you, I must admit, there's been too many times I've prayed for people, and maybe we'd have somebody come into the church when I was on staff at other churches, and I'll have people come in for prayer, and a bunch of people gather on and lay hands and pray, and their prayers are pitiful. I mean, it really troubles me to hear people praying like something like, "Oh Lord, if it's your will, heal this person, but if not, Lord, take them quickly." I mean, weird, sick stuff. Like, stop it. Don't pray like that. I really believe that when we pray for someone, we need to pray the prayer of faith. We need to pray believing. Now, I recently addressed this from the pulpit at Calvary Eagle, and I told our folks, the Lord is just, I've told the whole story. There's a whole lot of backstory to this, but I really feel like the Lord has shown me when I pray for somebody, I need to pray in faith, and I need to not be afraid of what if God doesn't heal them? What if they're going to die? What if? That's not my problem. That's God's problem. I need to pray in faith, believing, and I need to come to him and say, "Lord, I'm believing for a healing here." And so out of obedience to what the scriptures say, scriptures like this, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and many other scriptures, I've decided that when I pray for somebody, I'm going to pray in faith, okay? And I encourage you to do the same thing, okay? He says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, here's the other thing. Hold on. Yeah. There's times when we are sick that it is a result of sin, okay? Times. Now, keep in mind, that's not always the case. You can't say to somebody every time somebody's sick and say, it's because there's sin in your life. There's times we're sick just because of the fall, okay? We live in a fallen world, and we get sick because there's germs everywhere, and we are exposed to them, and we live in a fallen world, and we suffer the consequences of a fallen world. But I believe that James is addressing this by saying, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Meaning that there are times when somebody is sick because they brought it on themselves with something that they've done, and they're suffering the consequences, which, by the way, there's a lot of examples of that too, because sometimes you could suffer the consequences of your sin because God is allowing you to be punished for your sin, but sometimes it's you lived an unhealthy lifestyle and you've had sinful practices, and because of that you've picked up certain diseases, you know, whether it's venereal disease or cirrhosis of the liver or whatever. There are times we can contract certain illnesses because our sinful unhealthy practices. Okay, so there's all kinds of applications to this. Like I said, you could take the whole rest of the program. So let me keep reading. One more. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses. I'm reading from James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And so here's the thing. By the way, I don't know if you remember when I went through the 12 disciplines, confession is one of them. And so James is here telling you that one of the ways to stay healthy, one of the ways to be right with God and consistently persist in a right relationship with God, is that we confess our trespasses to one another, we pray for one another, that's a regular pattern of our life, that we might be healed, and realize that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Now, you got something.
And that confession is to God. It's not always that you have to go tell people, okay, this is what I did and that's what I did. Sometimes that's just between you and God, too.
Sometimes. Yes, but I'm saying in this particular verse, it says, confess your trespasses to one another. Now, here's the thing. Here's the rule of thumb. When your sin is just against God, then you need to confess to God, okay? If your sin is against somebody else, you need to confess to that person you've sinned against, okay? Another thing is if you've sinned publicly, and I've seen this in public figures, for instance, pastors who've held a position of public ministry, and then they've sinned against the church, either by way of stealing from the church or an unfaithfulness in one way or another, that person who's sinned publicly must confess publicly. I think there's a principle there. If you're wondering, do I need to confess this to everybody? Do I need to tell my wife this or my brother this or my, you know, who do I tell? Well, who have you sinned against? That's a good rule of thumb of how to determine that. Okay. Now, there are conditions of answered prayer, and I think we've kind of covered that, but let me just look at a few. Proverbs 28:9. Oh, okay, here's some important things to keep in mind. Proverbs 28:9, and we're looking at conditions of answered prayer. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. Now, have you ever talked to unsaved or people who are just lawless, living in rebellion, and they'll say, oh, I've prayed about that, or I've prayed to God and he's not answering me. Well, the Bible says that if you turn your ear away from hearing God's law, meaning you don't care what God says, you just want your prayers answered. God says your prayer is an abomination. It's something I will not listen to. Isaiah Chapter 1, verse 15 says, when you spread your hands out, I will hide my eyes from you when you spread your hands out. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And so now this is a specific incident in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. He's talking to his people who have been living in such a way that they're guilty of murder and bloodshed. And he says, you know what? If that's the way you're living, when you spread your hands out, I'm going to hide my eyes. I'm not going to look at your hands spread out. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, so here's the thing. You got to keep in mind that, what is it? I think it's Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I hope I got that address right. Psalm 66, 18, where David, in his prayer, he says, Lord, I know that if I'm holding on to iniquity in my heart, you're not going to hear my prayer. So we're talking about conditions of answered prayer. And you've got to realize, folks, if you're living in sin and if you're ignoring God's commands, you can't expect God to answer your prayer. Okay, now let's move on to another one. Let's talk about faith. We've talked about this briefly, but I just want to look at two more scriptures on faith before we move to the next discipline. And these are scriptures that really have had a profound effect on my life, though I must admit, some of it came from debating with people who I disagree with. There are people who believe they can just claim whatever they want, they can just believe and they can have whatever they want. I think there's an extreme view of this that's wrong. But nevertheless, there's a truth here. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree. This is after Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered. He says, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And so, you know, this is challenging here, right? Because there's been times I've really wanted God to do something. And I don't know about you, but I've prayed for things before and they haven't got my prayers answered, right? And so what's the answer? Am I in sin? Am I not praying in enough faith? This is a real challenging thing to a sincere Christian, okay, if you want to be honest and not just blow it off. Because Jesus said, if you have faith, like a mustard seed, you know, you could say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. Now, by the way, let's put this in proper perspective, because, you know, church history has been over 2,000 years now, and there is no record of anyone moving a mountain and throwing it into the sea, okay? And I'm really grateful for that for many reasons. For one thing, that Christian who would be able to do that could cause a tidal wave and could kill everyone on the mountain and everyone on the land. It wouldn't be a good thing, okay? But I really believe what Jesus is addressing here is the mountains in your life, the insurmountable goals, the insurmountable obstacles in your life that seem to be too high to climb and too big to go around. There are things in our life that stop us in our tracks that are like mountains, and we think, how am I going to deal with that? I think that's the kind of mountain Jesus is addressing. I don't think there's any reason ever for a Christian or for anyone to make a mountain go into the ocean. Okay, that just seems nonsense. I think what Jesus is addressing here is the parabolical, symbolic mountains in your life. Okay, but verse 22 is still challenging. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And you need to wrestle with that. And I need to wrestle with that. Because that means if God's not answering my prayer, there's a reason for it. Either there's sin in my life, either I'm not praying in faith, which, by the way, I think we did a series on this radio station about all the reasons why God doesn't answer prayer. There's more than this, okay? There's times we're praying outside of God's will, okay? There's times you're praying for something or someone. Maybe you're praying for healing, and God's saying, wait, that's not my time, or that's not the way I'm going to heal them. Sometimes there's been people who I really believe the Lord's plan is I'm going to take them home. That's the way I'm going to heal them. But still, I feel like my job is to pray in faith, believing that he's going to hear and answer my prayer. Isn't that a tough one? Isn't that a mind game? Okay? Because there's times we don't get our prayers answered because we're praying outside of the will of God. And that's why it's also important to abide in Christ and to move in the Spirit. Okay. We're going on and
well,
on with this
we
one.
Just covered some of this with the mountain, because God does not really want us moving the mountains around. I think he put them where he wants them, and sometimes they move on their own, which is a real disaster, so we don't want to be moving them. But the one thing that we came up with when we looked at this, like Mike said, the mountains in your life, be removed and cast into the sea means they're moved, they're out of your way, they're no longer a hindrance, they're buried under the water. It's so far away that this problem now isn't blocking you, standing in your way anymore. And that's what we need to do. That comes to truly trusting. And we agreed it was the mountains, the things in our lives mm-hmm. that we have to deal with. And sometimes they just get in the way.
Yeah,
they block us. We can't see around them. We can't figure out how to get over them. We
there
can't
are mountains
see through
as
them.
Far as we're concerned.
There are mountains as far as we're concerned. But if we have the faith to pray, those things can be removed and they're no longer in our way. Mm-hmm. They're no longer hindering. They're buried under the waves.
Good.
So that's kind of where we came with
so
that.
In your ladies' Bible study, you've recently gone through Matthew 21. Is that it?
No, we went through Matthew, I think it was 16, and it's going to come back up again here.
Oh, okay. All right.
We haven't got to 21 yet.
Yeah. One more verse that I just want to tell you the story behind this. I think I told you the story on this program before, but in Mark 11:24, this is the verse where our positive confession friends just love to jump on. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you, actually in the King James, believe that you have received them. New King James says, believe you receive them. And you will have them. And here's the thing. I went on a mission trip years ago with one of the Temptations. I wonder if he's doing now. Glenn Leonard was his name, but he was one of the original Temptations. And we were going in prison tour, and we're going inside prisons and doing ministry. And Glenn Leonard was doing he was doing his music. I mean, he would, of course, sing the tracks. Couldn't bring all the temps in there, but he's a great singer, great performer, and he had a heart of ministry. But in our downtime, we would end up getting into the debates because he was from a health and wealth positive confession church that believed, and many of you probably, maybe some of you are in a church like this, and maybe some of you are at least familiar with what I'm talking about. There are Christians who believe that it's God's will that you be wealthy and healthy and live to 105, 130, whatever it is, like, and they believe it's your divine right. You could just claim healing and you could command things to happen and they will. And one of the verses they use for that kind of faith is this very verse. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, me and Glenn, we'd have times on our downtime. We'd go into each other's room and just talk through some of this. And I've got to admit, we were both open to receive from one another. And I think there were some things I taught him that he reconsidered and realized, you've got a point there. And I hope he took it home with him like I took home with me some of the points he made, because he brought up this verse. And, you know, folks, whenever you are in disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ about a doctrine or about a theology, never find yourself, don't ever allow yourself to just sweep a verse under the rug and say, well, that doesn't mean what it says. All of the Word of God is reliable, trustworthy, and it all means what it says. And because of my conviction like that, that I believe I'm not going to just throw away a verse, I had to take a square look at this text, okay? And so it brought me to the decision that I'm going to believe God when I pray. And it says, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. So when I pray for somebody, I want to pray that God's going to heal them. And it's God's problem if he doesn't do it. It's not mine. Of course, some of you may say it is your problem. You didn't have enough faith or your sin in your life or whatever. Maybe that's the case, okay? But at least through all that wrestling through the scripture, I've come to the point that I know the importance of praying in faith, believing God when you ask for something. And could I pass that along to you? I think it's important that we pray in faith, believing God. Now, of course, always make sure you do your homework. Make sure you understand what God's will is, because you don't want to find yourself praying against God's will. If you don't pray within the will of God, he's not going to answer it. Make sure that there's not sin in your life, because as we've looked at earlier, if you regard sin in your life, then he's not even going to hear your prayer. Okay. So here's the thing. And this, there's a bigger picture to this whole thing. This is one example of working through things with somebody who I disagreed with. But you know what? Whether you're dealing with eschatology or whether you're dealing with Calvinism versus Arminianism, whatever, you know, there's all these theological traps that you could fall into where you love to debate and argue. Let me just tell you, all scripture is true. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I think I quoted that earlier today. And so what am I saying? Why am I repeating myself? Because what I'm trying to get across to you all is, don't ever look at a verse and say, that can't be true because of this other verse over here. You know, there are some verses that seem to contradict each other, but they don't. They only seem to contradict because you don't have a proper understanding of those verses. Excuse me while I take some time with this, because this is an important principle I want you to get. That if you find a verse over here that says one thing and you seem to find another verse over there that seems to say something else, it's only because you're not understanding the proper mending the proper fitting of these two verses together. So here's my challenge to you. Is that whenever you find verses that seem to contradict, for instance, like I said, the Calvinism, Arminianism thing, when there's verses that promise assurance over here, and there's verses that give warning against falling away over there, don't ignore one because you like the other better. Read them all carefully in their context and understand that they are both true, and say, Lord, show me how these fit together and how I can understand these scriptures so that there is no contradiction, but they are both true and they both say, or they all say what they're meant to say. And I you'll do much better with that, okay? I can't tell you how many times I'll run into somebody who will find a verse of scripture and I will teach it and I'll quote it and they'll say, yes, but that can't mean what it seems to say because this over here, well, You know what I'm, you hear what I'm saying. Read the scriptures as it's, as all of them are, all the scriptures valuable. It's all true, and find a way of understanding it so that you don't have to throw away any verses. You don't have to ignore any verses because you like these verses over here and they seem to contradict those verses over there. Okay. All right.
And don't take them out of context, please. Yeah. That's something that we have really stressed a lot in the past. We haven't stressed it a lot lately, but keep what you're reading in context. Okay. That's so, so important. Any of us can pick any little piece out and make it say whatever we want to. Okay. It's kind of like modern day, you know, when you're going to put a recording together, you could take this piece and that piece and you put them together and it sounds like it's all one thing, but it's not. You took them from different places mm-hmm. and you changed the whole meaning of it. Make sure you know the context of what you're reading.
Okay. All right. Now, I think we just have enough time to maybe introduce our next subject. We're looking at the 12 disciplines that will make your faith strong. We've covered so far study, which of course is study of the Bible, not just study of your schoolwork. And we've looked at, we just finished now, prayer. And that is a discipline, isn't it? The, both of these things could come as somewhat natural when you first get saved. But as time goes on and you've been saved for a while, you could kind of run out of steam. And now you've got to push yourself to keep reading your Bible. You've got to push yourself to keep praying, because most of these spiritual disciplines, they're exactly what they sound like. They're disciplines. If you just do what comes natural, you might not do these things, okay? So we've looked at study and prayer. Now, the third topic here is fasting. Oh, some of you guys are just turning the radio off right now because you don't want to fast. There was a time in my life when I didn't fast for a long, long time. And there was times in my life where I loved fasting. I'd fast for 3 or 4 days at a time. There was times I was on staff at a church that we would, the pastors, we'd all go away and we would fast for at least one day a month regularly. There's different times you go through with fasting. I don't know what you're like. You know, now there's a popular thing out called intermittent fasting, that it's a healthy thing, but it's not necessarily a spiritual thing. But fasting is a spiritual thing, and it's a spiritual discipline, and it requires discipline. It's not easy. So I hope I've just kind of stirred the pot a little bit. Tomorrow we'll come back and we'll talk about the spiritual discipline of fasting. I hope you've learned something about prayer today. Lord bless you. See you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to You.